Lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as a rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the presence has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won.
9 Points Podcast. I'm your host, BH. Thank you very much for joining our family show. Today, I want to remind everybody that the inspiration for our show comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This scripture speaks about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit of God. And these principles are very much a part of what we think about and what we try to apply to our day-to-day challenges and responsibilities. And Galatians 5, 22, 23 reads as follows. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When you read your Bible, when I'm seeing patience, it says forbearance in some translations, but forbearance means patience. And these are the seven principles these are the seven principles that we utilize in our family. Not perfectly, but these are the things that we use in our family when it comes to decision making, when it comes to self-correction, and when it comes to encouraging one another. We hope that the things that we share each week are enjoyable and helpful for whoever might be listening. And if it is helpful for you, if you enjoy it, please follow, click the follow button, and also share and let other people know that this is a family friendly podcast. We go about trying to do what we can to share some life experiences, some literature, some things that we've come to understand, so that whatever you might be going through, you know that you're not the only one. You know that there's a lot going on for your good, and no matter how alone you may feel, know that you're not alone. Know that you can allow yourself to feel good even though some times are bad. That doesn't mean you're not genuine. You can be down, and that doesn't mean you don't have faith. Everybody, in my opinion, everybody that is in the family of God is family. And every day is not going to be peaches and lollipops. So thank you again for joining our show. And if you're new to the show, this season we're doing something a little different than the previous seasons. I'm always going to incorporate the first segment of our show. I'm going to dedicate it to my Sunday school class. See, I was before COVID, I was a Sunday school teacher at my church for kids that were basically from the eighth grade on through seniors in college. And then when COVID hit and we couldn't meet anymore, we had to go through different, we had to come up with different ways to reach out to the families. And since we've been doing this podcast for a few years, I thought about it for a while, but it just made sense to start incorporating the Sunday school lesson in at least one segment of our show. So we're going to do this segment based on the Sunday school lesson that comes from Junior Way Magazine. Junior Way Magazine is published by Urban Ministries Incorporated. And the things that I'm going to share are coming from the Sunday school lesson for March the 24th. These are, you know, I'm reading the scripture that's set out, and I've read through some of the commentary. So some of the commentary might be from the teacher's manual. A lot of it will just be me paraphrasing either what I read from the teacher's manual or what I read and what jumped out to me, and me just sharing spontaneously what comes on my heart, which is essentially the same thing that I did when we all met under the one roof for the Sunday school class. So if you're ready, I want to go ahead and get started with today's lesson. Today's lesson, the scripture comes from Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and then chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. Once again, scripture reading comes from Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and then chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. So before I go into the actual scripture, I wanted to give you some context for today's lesson. Zechariah was thought to have been born in Babylon during a time of great political strife. He's known as a restoration prophet because the events that he describes occurred during the restoration period, the period where the children of Israel were in Babylonian captivity, and they were released and went back home. And during this time, the people were feeling overwhelmed and discouraged. And chapters 1 through 8 speak of 8 visions that God revealed to Zechariah in order to help the people. And from what I read, the 5 bullet points to remember, to keep in mind, when you're reading this lesson, the 5 things that Zechariah was called to do were: 1, inspire and encourage the people to finish rebuilding the temple. 2, restore the people's recognition of God in the government. 3, restore their faith and hope. 4, bring them back to an orderly life where they worship God genuinely and not just going through the motions. And then 5, to encourage them to repent of their sinful worship of false gods. So that is what today's lesson is going to be about. There are 2 sections. Section 1 is chapter 1, verse through 6. And then the second section is chapter 7, verses 8 through 17. So right now I'm going to read the first segment, which is Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. So during this time, the people were tired. They were really, really tired. They had been, from the time they'd been released and returned home, they had been trying for 10 years to rebuild the temple. And each time they tried, other things would come up. And for one reason or another, usually for several reasons and excuses, the work would end up delayed. The work would end up not finished. And they were very, you know, those people that were still determined to fix it, to rebuild the temple, who wanted to honor God and live up to their end of the covenant, that wanted to do it, they were discouraged because as hard as they were trying for 10 long years, they just couldn't get it done. And usually one of two things can usually happen when you're really giving your best to do something and you don't break through. One is when you hit that resistance and you realize you haven't got over the hump, one thing that happens is you gather yourself, you look at the people around you, if it's something that you're doing collectively or if it's something that you're trying to do that you have to do yourself individually. You look at your resources, you retrace your steps, you think about how you got to that point, and you say, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to learn from my mistakes. I'm going to look for opportunities that maybe I wasn't willing to look for in the past because I was determined to do it the best way I knew how at this point. But in the future, there might be opportunities that I didn't really incorporate. That's one thing that could happen. The other thing that could happen is after trying your best and not breaking through, you can become discouraged. You can start to wonder if, in fact, this thing that you are passionate about is really supposed to happen. You start to wonder about your motives. You start to wonder when you look around and other pressures of the world start to continue to mount. You start to pay more attention to those other things because you start to, you know, again, wonder, is all of this effort that I'm trying to do worthwhile? If God wanted me to have it by now and I've given everything that I know how to give and the answer is still no, then maybe I just assumed that that's what I needed. But maybe God's trying to tell me something. So it's usually a couple of different, those are the two different ways that people respond. And in this case, the people were, they were disillusioned. They were very down. And when their focus and their passion decreased, that's when they focused on other things. And some of them regressed in bad, you know, regressed and returned to some of their bad habits. Now, the second point I want to make about this segment is, God knew exactly what they were going through. It wasn't like he asked them to go do something and he knew that it was going to be easy. He knew the challenges. Time is not a factor for God. He uses time like a businesswoman or a businessman uses contractors. Time works for him. He was there before, in the beginning, before there was a beginning. He's what we would consider the future. He's seen the future. So when God tells these people, I need you to do this, he knows exactly what they're up against. He knows their senses. He knows their minds. He knows their culture. He knows how long it takes some things before they click, how long it takes individuals and groups of people to replace a certain way of thinking with what's needed. He knows all the challenges, so he wanted to make sure that the people got to the point where they were intentional about trusting his word, that so that the distractions and the pain, the distractions, the obstacles would not guide them, would not hold them back. Because if we're not intentional about our faith, then the cares of this world and just the fact that we are imperfect beings that are going to make mistakes, that are not going to be able to be 100% sharp, at our sharpest all of the time. If we're not intentional about being faithful toward what God told us to do, then we're sitting ducks for the enemy. The only way to please God is to be faithful to him. So the people needed to collectively show faith in God and the prophet that he sent to them, who was telling them to rebuild this temple. All right. Now, section two comes from Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 14. And I'll read this. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now, of all of those verses that stood out, verses 11 and 12 really jumped out because it reminded me when I was a kid. If you're like Generation X or older, you know how often it was depicted when a kid didn't want to hear you or an adult that didn't want to hear you. They would stick their fingers in their ears and say, la, 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 I'm not listening, blah, 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 blah. And I'm sitting here and I can't get that image out of my mind. God is saying that collectively, individually, that's what a lot of the leaders were doing. Collectively, that's a lot what a lot of the peoples were doing. They were plugging their ears so that they couldn't hear. And just like a little immature child that plugs their ears and says, la, 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 they're exercising the freedom they have to push away whatever instruction is coming towards them. So another, you know, one of the things, there were a couple of things that Zechariah needed to do here during these verses. One thing, he was trying to retrace the steps for those people that were starting to lose faith and lose hope. See, some of those people, remember in the first section when I said they had been trying for 10 years and didn't get it done, one thing after another after another. And it was just so hard for them. Sometimes when we experience trials and tribulations and they don't let up, sometimes we can start to wonder if it's ever going to get better. Sometimes it might start with wondering, what did I do wrong that I can change? What can I change so that God will show me favor instead of continuing to punish me? And some people in some situations can be so upset, so discouraged for so long, they can start to wonder if God still cares about them at all. They might wonder, you know, I know that what I did was horrible. I don't deserve better. And if I were in God's shoes, I wouldn't welcome me back either. As bad as this is, I want it to stop, but he's not going to save me because I should have known better. And Zechariah was reaching out to those people so that they didn't start to believe those thoughts, so that they would understand that there was a bigger picture in play. He wanted to let them know how they got there. He wanted to let them know that he was still on the throne and that he still had compassion for them. But they were in that situation because of bad habits, bad teachings, and habitually regressing to doing things like they had done in the past and repeating the mistakes of their ancestors. So he wanted them to know that this stuff wasn't just random, and they weren't just out on their own, survival of the fittest, that these things happened for a purpose and that he was still caring for them. He had just delivered them from the Babylonians for the purpose of blessing them further and in ways that they had not been able to be blessed for 70 years when they were in bondage. So Zechariah wanted to remind them of that. He wanted to use his speeches as a rallying cry for those people, so that they could pass through that season of discontent. You know, they were one generation removed from bondage in a foreign land. It was true that powerful enemies surrounded them, and even there were even enemies within their ranks that were working against their best interests. Yes, it's true that they had been trying for 10 long years and had to pick themselves up after lots of disappointments. All of that's understandable. It's understandable to seek comfort in that situation, because you can be so tired of being down, seeking some kind of comfort. That's not being greedy. That's not being greedy. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not being greedy. And that's not, I'm not going to say that it's selling out. I don't want to put a bad label on it. I just want to say, because anybody that, if it's raining and you don't want to get wet, you get an umbrella so that you can get some comfort. That's natural. It's okay to seek comfort when things are really, really bad and you're doing the best you can. Yet, if God tells you that you need to do something, then as uncomfortable as it may be, and as unprepared as you may feel for that moment, He will prepare those that He calls. You might feel utterly unprepared, but He will prepare you to finish the job to His glory. The people needed to be on one accord. They needed to be intentional. And if they were not going to do it the way that God told them they should do it, then He was not going to bless them in the ways that they were wanting collectively. It wasn't going to happen, because God knew if He gave them all the things that He had in store without them learning to understand and appreciate their relationship with Him, then it was just going to be a short amount of time before they regressed to the bad habits of their ancestors. Okay, so the last point that I wrote down in my notes, it was that God raised up a prophet who was born in the same physical bondage and understood exactly what those times were like for them. He reminded them not to make peace with an enemy and to be okay. I can't even read my own handwriting. So, wow, I've been talking for 22 minutes. But God sent a prophet, Zechariah, who knew what it was like. He came from where they came from. And He was telling them, look, I know what it feels like. This is what you need to understand. We are experiencing challenges based on things that people before you did. We have been delivered from that sentence, from that punishment. But we have to learn how to have a true and abiding relationship with God. We have to be intentional about our relationship with God. If we don't become intentional and learn how to specifically look at all these other distractions and say, I'll get to you later, but for now, I'm going to be about doing this business of God. Zechariah said that, I know your heart. I know what's on your shoulders. This is what God wants us to do. The benefits of doing it God's way will be revealed to you in the process and when it's complete. But for now, listen to the word that he's put in his on my heart. That's what Zechariah was saying to them. So that's the Sunday school lesson for March the 24th. And there was one more section that I had for my class that was commentary and questions. And I put, just as Judah was being encouraged to rebuild God's temple in the past, we as Christians are asked directly and indirectly to go out and build the church. The body of Christ is the church. Don't forget that. Where we are mentally and spiritually when God approaches us with the truth can be largely dependent upon the era, the SES, and yes, even the skin that you're born into. None of us could determine the when and the where we ended up being born. The same thing was true for Zechariah's audience, wasn't it? What was Zechariah telling the people that God wanted from them? God wanted them to unite and sacrifice certain things in their lives in order to make more room for him. Today, are you sacrificing for the Lord in order to make more room for him? Do you have a cheerful heart as you sacrifice the moment so that God can demonstrate the glorious victory as he sees fit? So just some things to think about, this again, targeted for my Sunday school class, 8th graders through 12th graders. I'm sharing it with any and everybody. And hopefully you can find some things in there to give you some confidence, some courage, help you to see God at work in your life, even your circumstances that are not so pleasant. So I'm going to step off for a brief commercial and then I'll be back.
Hi, I want to take this opportunity to thank you all for joining our family podcast. Being able to do this is both fun and work. Our family hopes that you will find what you hear today as both entertaining and comforting. If you do, please keep coming back. We know that with our family, some of the days have been long, but the years have gone by fast. Believe this advice that I know you've already heard a bunch of times before. Make it a priority to enjoy the present. Well, that is all I have to say this time. Once again, on behalf of my family, thank you for joining the 9 Points Podcast.
Welcome back to the second and final segment of today's show. This is your host, BH. And I want to use this time to reflect on what we were just talking about in the first segment, which was the scripture where Zechariah was encouraging the people to do things the right way, to remember their commitment to God, to get on the project of rebuilding the temple, to do it on one accord. And tell you, in my opinion, or just a comparison or parallel for me in our day-to-day lives, how that's important. Let's say you're going through something. You're going through something really difficult. Let's say that you're experiencing a trauma. You're going through something traumatic. And even naming what it is and how to categorize it. You might even struggle with that because you might be like I am, a product of the thinking what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Persevere. Perseverance is a part of life. Don't even try to categorize your hardship. Whatever your challenge is, God brought you to it. God will bring you through it. All of those things are great. And trauma is real. It's not like one is true and one is not. Hardships are hard. The Bible talks about storms all the time. The Bible talks about tribulations all the time. Okay? So if you find yourself going through something, I'd like you to take a moment and reflect back to what Zechariah's people had gone through. They had just come out of 70 years of bondage. They had gone through 10 years of trying to rebuild the Lord's temple, and they had given forth a lot of effort. And giving forth a lot of effort for 10 years and not having that breakthrough, that can be rough. that can take something out of you. Despair can creep in. Other things that seem easier to attain that would make you feel pretty good, those things might take a priority. And what you started out trying to do for the Lord might say, I'll get to that later on. Or some other kind of line of thinking that gets you off track. I would like to say to you that if you struggle with that, as I have, and maybe to a degree right now, as I'm even talking right now, certain areas of my life, when you find yourself like that, I want you to remember it might be necessary to sacrifice something in order to find the next level of freedom that you're seeking. What I mean by that is, as you're struggling, just like Zechariah's people, as you are paying attention to the threatening enemies around you, just like the people of Zechariah's time, if you are know what it's like to do your best and follow all the rules that society has given you and still see that your work doesn't seem like it's appreciated, just like the people of Zechariah's time. In the midst of doing those things, God still insisted that they do things the right way. And I'm not going to try to pretend like anybody is doing something more wrong than anything that I'm doing right now. But I'm seeing what might be necessary or the right way or the key to get you out of that hardship you're experiencing and to achieve that level of freedom that you're seeking. You might need to endure that and change something that you're doing, either a behavior or what you're feeding yourself mentally, the kinds of messages you take in, the kind of conversations that you continuously put yourself in. You might need to sacrifice some of that. You might need to sacrifice some of that and replace it for something that seems foreign, has truth to it, and maybe, just maybe, by changing your behavior and changing those things that you ruminate on, maybe replacing those with new perspective might be what is necessary to get you out of that really difficult place. Also, to those of you that find yourself caring for somebody that's going through something tough, and it seems like every time you try to help them, they give you several excuses why they're not going to do it the way that you're suggesting. If you're in that camp, I want to, first of all, encourage you to make sure that you don't compromise too much. What I mean by that is sometimes when you give in to something that you know isn't right, but you can justify it this time because you think that maybe it's going to lead to something better, sometimes it just leads to more momentum for that person to come back to you with a different request that's just as subtle, but takes you and takes them just a little bit further from the path that God wants them to. So be careful with what you compromise, because ultimately it's going to take faith. And if you're fortunate enough to be able to have that journey with people in your corner at the beginning, you'll definitely understand and value fellowship as you're getting through it. But faith brings courage, and faith and courage brings righteousness. Okay? Of course, you have to have humility too. But I'm saying that faith and action is necessary. And as you're doing the best that you can to help others, you have to remember that you need to be blessed too. You'll mess around and you could run yourself ragged, burn your candle at both ends. And finally, if you are someone who is struggling with something significant and you are caring for someone or several people that are going through significant difficult times yourself, you're struggling, and you know based on the struggles you've had that you have something to offer someone so that they don't fall like you fell, so that they don't feel, so that as they're getting up, they don't stay down as long as you stayed down. If you are under immense pressure as you're helping somebody else, I want to invite you to consider maybe you should make a higher priority in your life to find out how to appreciate yourself. I am not by any way implying that sacrifice is an indication that you do not love yourself. I want to repeat, I am not in any way trying to imply that a person that is willing to sacrifice is someone that does not appreciate themselves. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you have accepted the responsibility to live your best life and to help as many as you can along the way. It is imperative that you nourish yourself. You don't just say, the more I can help others, then I know that I'll get by somehow. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I'll tell you something else that's true. If you appreciate yourself along the way, if you learn how to accept compliments, if you learn how to accept and implement critical, constructive criticism, if you make that a priority, then as you are giving others, you will be able to do so cheerfully. Life will not take so much out of you that you lose the joy of doing what God has given you the strength and the mission to do. So many times we lose the joy of doing his work because we don't understand that it's important to reflect on how good he is in our life. The other things are going to be there and they're going to demand like a transactional kind of thing. They're going to take. Life is going to take. You have to be able to find time to have your relationship with God, to nourish the faith that he has given you so that faith can lead you where you need to go, so that faith can lighten, can serve as a light onto the path as you're going through those dark places. You need to be able to make it a priority so that your faith, your humility, and your courage can continue to motivate you, can continue to give you direction, and can continue to point you where you need to go so that you can see God's work and God's hands all around you, sometimes right in your life and sometimes just outside of your immediate realm, but having the reassurance that he is there, It's easier when you incorporate things into your life that nourish you, that affirm that you are important to him, that your work is important to him, so that when he wants to say good job, when he wants to tell you well done, my faithful servant, you will understand when he's calling to you, when he's saying that to you, and you'll be able to implement that into your heart, into your mind, and into your actions. Folks, I appreciate you for listening to the show. I hope that you'll come back again next week. If you like it, hit the follow button, share the word with somebody else, let them know what we're doing, sharing a Sunday school lesson every week, and one or two segments after that, just to reflect on what the Sunday school lesson, sometimes talk with Generation Z, and sometimes just share personal experiences and maybe some information that I might come across from time to time. for the purpose of empowering people, encouraging people, and reminding you that you're important, what you're doing is important, and if you can be cheerful about it, if you can be cheerful about it, you are the change agent that you need in your life. Remember that wealth is to be spent and treasure is to be shared. God bless you. Go love your family. Bye-bye.